SAS come here and share with us what we should have been doing. One thing I also remember early on in the business, Jeff has one of the most unique and incredible stories about launching his business with a private business reception and literally having three other brothers today that are millionaires because of that private business reception. And I remember when he was my upline executive director and the call plan was very different. You could be a director with three director lines, but not have my line to go executive director, and what we call that is broke. Broke really bad. And I remember kind of being at that pendulum swing where I didn't have enough line to go exec. We were doing about 39 counters a month, but they were all coming through three director legs, and I was a director, so there was no override. And so things were getting really ugly financially for my family. And I remember thinking, man, you're my upline executive, you're making so much money. And it didn't take a lot of money to be so much money at that point in my life. And I just thought, oh man, Jeff, if you would just loan me 10 grand, all my problems in the world would go away. But I just realized that I needed my time in the fire to be refined. And today I can look back and say, you know what? I'm so glad that someone didn't just come bail it out and make life easy for me and pay my bills and solve all my problems. I had to figure it out. Like Jim Rohn says, don't ask for less problems, ask for more wisdom. And, you know, just figured out a way to make it in this business. And it's a lot like that analogy of the little boy who finds the, what do they call that, that the caterpillars go in? Cocoon, thank you. Cocoon, chrysalis. And he sees the butterfly trying to get out, and it's trying to get through that little tiny hole, and it's struggling and struggling for hours, and so finally he goes, I'm just going to help it out, and cuts the hole just a little tiny bit bigger so that the butterfly can get out. But consequently, the butterfly dies because the butterfly needed to go through that hole that was smaller than its body because that extra stress on the butterfly squeezes the fluid out of its abdomen that makes it light enough so that it can fly. And so when you think you're actually helping it, it's actually what killed it. And for you to get your wing, to become a millionaire, to get all the financial problems out of the way, you have to go through some trials, some challenges in any business to become the person you really ultimately want to become. And we have here tonight a great opportunity to have some of the most incredible leaders in the whole company here. I hope that you really, really take advantage of this opportunity. Very few people in prepaid legal ever get this opportunity. I've been to a lot of Super Saturdays all over the United States, and seldom do you get a casual event the night before the big event where you can just sit down and break bread with millionaires and ask them anything you want. It just doesn't happen. When we have good weather in the state of Utah, we try to pull this off. And sometimes even when we don't have good weather, we try to pull it off. It ends up inside my garage. But so from about the next half hour, we've got about another half hour or so before it's going to get too chilly. We're going to turn the mic over to both Jeff and Cindy. You've got a duo here that they have a gold mine of knowledge and experience in this business. And it's just a huge honor and privilege of us to host them here tonight. So let's give it up for Jeff and Cindy Hughes.
I feel like a fish in a fishbowl. Like your hair. That's cool.
Well, I want to say something, Dave, talking about the butterfly. I was just talking about our experience from our first convention. We were directors, and we'd been consistently making that $500 a month. Remember I talked about How Patrick Shaw at our first business briefing told us that that's what we could do, and we said, okay, we did it. We started making more than that, a lot of, you know, getting the activity. Jeff, to go to convention, quit his job, and we went to convention, and that same month, all three brothers broke director, and a lot of our leaders broke director. And so, like Dave said, no money. We came away from the convention, though, committed to run for executive director, and then that next 3 months was literally going through that hole, and it was hard. It was really hard. Once we made executive director, that was, the money started coming, and it was great. But I remember we had one leg that was just so weak, and they couldn't do the sales. And we tried everything we could to strengthen that leg, but it just wasn't happening. And so this guy went out every single month, and he was the third leg. And he made 25 sales every single month so that we could qualify. We've never dropped out of executive director in 11 years now. And so he did it. And he used to make the calls, and they were almost all individual sales. And it was absolutely amazing. And I remember one convention, we got the little, you know, you get the recognition. We open it up, and he wins the Golden App Award. You know, sold 1,000 personal memberships. And I forget what year. It wasn't that long, but he worked so hard. But, you know, those years were so refining. And people say, of course, Jeff can sell prepaid legal because he was a shoe salesman. No. We got into prepaid, and he was like, what do I do with this? You know, I know nothing. What do I do? But those years of having to make presentations and having to do it and going through that little hole, that cocoon, man, this guy can talk like crazy about prepaid legal. He can sell prepaid legal if he wanted to, but he still uses third party. He still uses three-way calls. He still does all of that stuff because it's duplicatable, and he has that vision on that. But it was that practice, and those lean years were golden for us, don't you think?
I do.
So I just thought that was like, yeah, you're right. Love those lean years, and I still, from time to time, get really teary-eyed about that because I remember his brothers coming over, and they would open up the fridge, and there were literally nothing in the fridge. And they're like, hey, you guys need to go grocery shopping. And we're like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, and we were paying for the meeting. We were paying for their tools. We were paying, you know, it was all this stuff that we put everything we had into prepaid, what little there was during those months running for executive directors. So,
I'm just glad to be here tonight, and this is your chance to ask some questions. And we may or may not know the answer, but we'll give it a shot. And we have 12 years of experience in this business. Some of y'all are new, just getting started, and so it's hard and scary, and you're not quite sure if you're right for prepaid, if prepaid's right for you. And our experience is that anybody can be successful in this business if they want to be. The reason that people aren't successful is because they didn't want to be. And so you guys are in the right place at the right time. If I could go back and do it over again, I'd start my business today. You guys, what's getting ready to happen with MidOcean and the new compensation plan and the marketplace stability, you really are in the right place at the right time. And I know you're having some questions about your business or want to plot some strategy. And we can do a little mastermind here as well, too. If somebody has an experience that you maybe want to say, hey, I know how to do that, you know, we can even throw it open to people in the crowd. But this is your chance. So if you guys have any questions or want to talk about the business, this is your chance. So, yes.
Maybe a few strategy questions in a minute, but I'm just kind of curious. So many people get involved in the business, and when they start hitting that wall, especially if it goes on for a month or two, they walk away and try other things. Like, what do you think it was that gave you enough confidence to keep going when you were struggling in the business?
Well, understand that we both quit prepaid legal many times. It's not on the same day. You know, you heard that, and that's really true. And Sandy would, I came on one day, and she's out in the backyard just bawling her head out. And I would just come back from a briefing, so I was all hyped up. You know, I was in a good mood.
Conference call,
something, anyway. I was like, she's bawling. I was like, what's wrong? She's like, I just wish our life was normal for one day. Just one day. I just want a normal life again. And you go to work and come home and bring a check, and, you know. So, you know, everybody goes through those things. And I think the problem I think that we have in this business is that people won't show their cards. We all think everybody's doing good. You know, we're like, so everybody else is having a good time, and I'm having a terrible time. And that's why I think when Cindy and I travel, we just tell people this is how this is what happened to us, because I think people can relate to it. And they're like, well, thank goodness if you guys had a hard time. But the thing I used to tell, Ryan, it's a great question, but the reason we were able to get through it when other people weren't is that we acknowledged from the very beginning when we decided to do this that this was going to be it was going to be very challenging and it was going to take time. And we actually set our children down and told them it's going to be 3 years before life comes back to normal. And when we would have really hard times, and Cindy would question kind of what was going on, and I would say, honey, it's not about today, it's about 3 years from today. The work we're doing now is going to bear fruit 3 years from now. You know, we can't expect the work I did this morning to show up tonight or next week. You know, it may not come back for 3 years, but it comes back with interest. So I think having a long-range vision of where you want to be, we talk about that's the why or whatever, different things, but we just envisioned what our future was going to be like when this thing worked out. And now we never had a doubt. Well, I don't think we ever had a doubt. We had a pretty good idea that this was going to work for us from the very beginning. And so we were willing to work through those hard things. And that's why when I train, I always try to tell people, those hard times are the good times when it comes to working on you and that personal development that everybody, we talk about reading good books and attending seminars. And I think those are great things to do because they give you enough courage to actually go to work. But I'm convinced that it's in the doing that the refining takes place. That's when the stuff you're not proud of yourself gets knocked off. And so I'm glad that we didn't run from the hard times. We went ahead and just put our head down and went to work. We listened to a song the other day. You guys probably heard it. When you're going through hell, keep on going, right? Maybe the devil won't even know you're here. And I think a lot of times in pre-fit, that ought to be our motto. It's just, you know, put the accelerator on. Just get through it as quick as you can. It's normal. It's incidental to the journey. Don't expect it. Don't expect it to be different. Don't expect that you can figure out a shortcut or some an easy way through. Everybody goes through this. And
we, you know, one of the things that I think really inspired us at the very first is I told you we signed that associate agreement on August 7th. And right after, that was a Super Saturday day, and that we went to Fast Start right afterwards. And Patrick Shaw and Cliff Malloy taught our Fast Start class. And I know they did this for us, but they're going through the Fast Start program, and all of a sudden Patrick says, Cliff, let's stop right here. I think that we need to show them the comp plan. I think that we need to show these people exactly what it is. And Jeff and I looked at each other like, and they didn't know why they were doing it, but I know that they were doing it for us. And so they literally took that comp plan, and they went through, like platinum. What was the highest level at the time? Like platinum 7 was the highest you could get. So they went through the highest level, every nickel. They showed us where, I mean, and Jeff and I sat there and went, holy cow, those nickels add up to money. Oh, they add up to big money. Oh my gosh. And so we looked at each other and said, this is possible. This is real. There, the money's there. We just got to do the work. And that was so inspiring to us. And then having that why. I mean, just, gosh, we knew exactly why we were in prepaid legal. We knew exactly what we wanted from prepaid legal. And that pushed us through. And our very first convention, we got a philosophy from Jeff Olson that stayed with us, and it resonated with both of us at the same time, and we stuck it up all over our house. And it said, successful people do what unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. And everybody agrees with that. Everyone's sure, but you try that in the trenches. You know, when you don't want to make the phone call, when you've got a day left and 5 sales to make, do you do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do? Yeah, you do it, and you just do it. It's gut-wrenching, and it's hard, but you do it, and that's when the philosophy becomes your philosophy. And so we took that, and that was the very first thing, and then we got that mentality along with that. From the very first, when we saw that comp plan, we said, okay, we're going to adopt the attitude of we can't fail. We cannot fail at this business. And even though you have no's, even though the phone calls are hard, that works hard, you're never failing in this business as long as you keep moving forward. And so that attitude, along with all Jeff said, that got us through all the hard times. It still gets us through the hard times. I mean, it's not over. I mean, we plateau out, and we have audacious goals right now that we're accomplishing, and we're like, okay, here we go. We know the work that's required, and we're willing to do it.
Long answers to short
questions.
So, Jeff, I mean, you've got how many people coming to convention off your team?
Oh, we don't even count.
That's not counting. Oh, it's hundreds. Hundreds.
How do we get people to go to convention, get people to go to an event like this, get people to go to a Super Saturday? I know there's no secret. You got to get on the phone.
Well, that's the challenge of your business. People think you got to get good at selling the membership, and I don't believe that. I think we've got good marketing tools for that. We have good websites and good DVDs and business briefing stuff. What we don't have good tools for, and we never will have good tools for, is building for events. You know, there's never going to be a video you can send to your downline that will build for an event, you know, to get people to go to convention. That's your job. And learning to sell your team on coming to the next event is your challenge. And the better you get at that, the more money you're going to make in prepaid and the better your quality of life. So if you want to focus on an activity that's a high-value return activity, focus on becoming a promoter. You know, Don King makes more money or made more money than any of his boxers and had a longer career because he was a promoter. You know, he got a cut of everything that went on. And so I would say, you want to know what you should do? Learn how to sell the next event. Figure out what it is, you know. Call your team, call your friends, and get people to go with you. And the better you get at it, the easier this gets. Because this is not a business where it's not so much how much you do and how many people you personally recruit or you personally sell. That does have an impact on your business. But for Cindy and I, you know, that we're working on our second $1 million, 98% of the money that we've earned has been off the efforts of our team. So I could have got out and become really good at selling the membership, and it probably wouldn't have changed our percentage of our income. I would be having an easier time selling the membership, but what we were good at and what our sponsor was good at was promoting for events. And that's how we built this huge team, because we always... Our system of success is prepaid legal system. We use third-party tools working through Warm Market. We use the infrastructure that prepaid legal has all across the country, the business briefings, the trainings, the Super Saturdays, and then we go to the international conventions. We use conference calls. These are all the things that are available to every associate. We just chose to use those from the very beginning, and I'm glad we did, because that allowed our team to get a lot bigger than us. Our team has never been in Texas, where we spent our whole career until recently working. Our team was always somewhere else because our system worked anywhere. You know, it was never about Jeff and Cindy Hughes. It was always about this amazing system that Prepaid Legal had put in place.
You know, our sponsor, Judy, so good at promoting for events, and she would tell us, you know, you have to be there. And we'd say, but Judy, we have... No, you have to be there. I mean, no excuse was valid in her book. No excuse. You just have to be there. And at first that irritated me, but then I was so grateful for it because, we needed there. And there really wasn't a good excuse for us not to be there. And so we went. And so we have the saying in our family, we don't use excuses at all. And if somebody gets whiny and wants to use an excuse, and we're just like, stop, why don't you just say you're out of peanut butter? Okay, that's the excuse. Well, I'm out of peanut butter. And even now, our older kids, well, I don't want to do that. Well, I'm just out of peanut butter. You know, it's like any excuse will work. Don't be whining to me about it. Any excuse will work. And so that attitude Judy had with us really taught us that we needed to be there. And then over time of us going, we just thought, we need to be here. We became believers.
If you were a different kind of company, I don't think you'd have to do that. You know, if we were a direct selling company that made our business, you know, made our money selling memberships, it wouldn't matter if you went to business briefings. And once you got trained enough to sell the membership, you'd be done. You know, it's really at that point, it's just you and how busy you are, how many appointments you can set, how many networking events you can go to. It's all about you. And this business that we build and that what we encourage you guys to do, it shouldn't be about you. If it's about you, it'll never get bigger than you. And the only way you can get it bigger than you is to just realize, all right, whether I like it or not, this is how this thing works. We are a third-party tool, business-attending people, and we go and we take our teams with us, and that allows our teams to get really, really big, which provides a great quality of life for us. It makes it very easy. I mean, when's the last time that I've been to Utah? I mean, it's been years. None of you quit. I mean, Utah never quit. You guys have continued to produce and increase production because it's not about me. You know, you're in my organization, I'm your upline leader for whatever that means. But the reality is, this is your business, you guys are plugged in, you're doing what's required to be successful, and that's the genius of Prepaid Legal. And as you guys' team starts to grow and spread out, you'll realize, I am so glad that my people are going to their trainings, because I couldn't train all those people myself. You know, so easy to run with 1,000, but you try to drag one dead person around with you, right? You can't do that for very long. You might do it for a little bit, but you're not going to drag them for very long, but you could run with thousands. And that's what Free Faith System allows us to do. So, from this side of the room. You better ask a question. I'll do a Phil Donahue and run over and stick the mic in your mouth. What's that? That's Gabrielle talking out of school.
Part of the problems we run into as we've been involved in this is really picking out the people, being three people, to help you move forward. And at what point in time do you say, I've got to go, I'm going to have to start another line? I mean, how many times a line do you end up using before you actually found the three keys to make you go forward? In other words, do you have to go four, five, six different lines right up front?
I'll tell you what we did. Sandy talked about it yesterday. We told our first three people, it happened to be our brothers, that we wouldn't go wider than three until they all hit director. And so when we recruit somebody, to give one to David, one to Chris, one to Mike, one to David, one to Chris, one to Mike. Then Chris broke director, so we stopped giving him people. And we started giving it to David and Mike and David and Mike. And then David made it. So we stopped giving them to David and we gave it to Mike. And gave it to Mike 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 gave it to Mike gave it to Mike, right? Because everybody has one of those kind of legs, right, that requires more input than you'd like to do. But that was how we were able to build that solid block of leaders. And we placed in depth, even in organizations like Mike's organization, that there just wasn't a lot of strong leadership down there. We continued to place because we're trying to drive production. Because we know, right, you have to have three director legs, 25 sales per in each leg. So why would we want to go wider than three when that was the minimum requirement? You had to have three directors with three director legs. And so we focused on, not on WIP. We didn't start new lines of sponsorship. I didn't start my fourth organization, or we didn't, until my 13th month in prepaid legal. So for a year, we placed everybody that we recruited into one of our brothers' organizations. And we were making over $11,000, $12,000 a month with just three legs. So you could say, well, I don't want to put a good person under a bad person. Prepaid's comp plan, it's like cream in milk. It's going to rise to the top. So even if you put a person down deep, the money's still going to come up, because that's the way the comp plan is designed. And there'll come a point, and I won't say that you need to follow our pattern of three director legs, but there'll come a point when you will know that it's probably time to start a new line of sponsorship frontline. But I think we all want to just recruit somebody and have them go out and become platinums, don't we? Wouldn't that be nice? Put somebody frontline, wish them well, and off they go. But people like to work with teams. They like to be part of a team. And I think you bonding with them and saying, look, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to do it for you, but I'll help you. And you helping them to build a team and working with their people below them. And there's actually a system that you can use that helps with the placing. We won't get into that tonight. But just kind of think about that. Don't worry that the person you recruit frontline doesn't go on to great success in prepaid legal, because really what you need is three director legs with 25 sales per leg. That's what you need to be focused on. And if you have to help some people to build that, I think that's great. And when you feel it's time to start a new line of sponsorship, that's probably something that Cindy and I would have done differently. We probably would have started a fourth leg or a fifth leg somewhere in that first year so that we had some overrides coming, some spread coming off of that team. Because by just focusing on three legs, we starved to death until we hit executive. And then when we hit executive, we made a lot of money. But it was scary. You know, I would have liked to have had even a few $100 a month would have helped us. And with the new comp plan, that's really what you see. And tomorrow, one of the things I'm going to do in my training, and I want you guys to bring notebooks, okay? So make sure you bring notebooks. We're actually going to run the numbers tomorrow with the comp plan, okay? We're going to do some assumptions. We're going to work our way through each of the levels so we can see how to move up. So that you can teach it to other people, and then we're going to run the numbers and see actually how much money we can make, kind of like they did at our first Fast Start class. You guys have no idea, much you new timers have no idea how much money is buried in that comp plan, just waiting to be picked up. You just got to know how to shake it loose, and we'll do that tomorrow. So that'll be fun.
You know, one of the things that we found out also is that, you know, you hope when you personally recruit somebody and you do put them frontline that they are going to be the one, but it's always down deep that you'll find a leader. and you can work with that initial person. Like we have one leg that is an open leg, and occasionally it hits ED. We have a couple people in there. But we started out with one girl, and she recruited a girl, and she recruited a girl, and then it went down, down, and down. It was down deep that's where the gold was. And, you know, we kick off. We have two different legs that branch off down there that kick off, you know, executive directors from time to time. And we have found that throughout all our organization. I think we were lucky or blessed, I don't know, to have Chris and David go on and actually be frontline, you know, platinum executive directors. I mean, that to me was kind of, I don't know if it was a fluke or not, but it was just that, it was kind of exciting. But you look down deep in their organizations, and Chris would tell you the same thing, David too. You look down and you get down in these depths, and that's where you find the gold. And so work with those people, but realize that it's going to be four or five levels down. That's where you're gonna hit the gold. So
most people never get four or five levels.
Yeah, and they'll quit. You know, they'll say, oh, no.
If somebody doesn't do well right away, then they just like, well, I'm just going to replace you, and they'll start another leg and start another leg and start another leg. And I've seen people at 12, 15. I've met one guy who was 100 wide. He had 100 people frontline, and he wasn't even, I don't even think he was a director. He was like a manager. He had 100 people in his team. I'm like, could you restructure that? Because you should be a platinum, you know? It's like, but I think some of that gets back to looking at the comp plan and going, well, if I put everybody frontline, I'll make more money because there's more spread. And it's kind of a greedy thing, you know? It's like, what's best for me rather than what's best for the team? And there's enough money in the comp plan. And the reality is, once you build that original, that initial structure, that foundational team, you can go as wide as you want. I mean, Cindy and I, we're probably 30 or 40 wide at this point. But not our first year. And we still made a ton of money. I mean, we were making $10,000 a month with three teams. You know? So when we started our fourth team, we went to $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
There was somebody over here.
Yeah, who was over here?
Okay.
What? Who's cutting into my... That's my job. You want to share it? Go ahead and ask the question, because if you have it, other people do.
What have you found to be the most interesting part to tell others about to get them intrigued in your business?
Well, people like to talk about themselves. They don't want to hear about you. So if you'll spend a lot of time talking to them about what they like, unless they're a freak, eventually they'll turn around and ask you what you like. So, and if they never ask you, you do not want them on your team because they're one of those guys, right? So I just be very interested in them and hopefully they'll turn around and be interested in you, and that'll give you a chance to talk about what you do in a natural way. I'm not a guy that would ever respond to somebody coming up to me in Walmart and cold pitching me. I wouldn't like that, and I would never do that. That's just my deal. You may be good at it. Mine came in a natural way. It was a friend of mine, you know.
I'm thinking about Jeff stayed in Texas after the convention. I came home on that Monday, and I was last leg of my flight back to Virginia. I almost missed the flight. I'm running through the Atlanta airport, and I get on the last seat, last row, and this young guy sitting there, and I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, that's my seat, you know, and you just can look on his face like, oh, crud, you know, I was hoping I had this room to myself. So I sat down, and I just, we just started chatting, and he liked to talk about himself. And so I just asked him all kinds of questions about himself. Got him talking, you know. And finally he asked, well, what do you do? Or where have you been? And I told him. And then he goes on talking about himself. I asked more questions. And now, what is it you do? And so I told him, you know, just real simple, you know, prepaid legal services. We sell prepaid legal memberships and recruit and train people. You know, train and recruit people. He's like, oh, okay. And then he talks and he goes, now, what? Tell me how that works, you know. And then, so it's just really funny, the whole process. And by the end of it, he'd asked me about, you know, renewal. How was it that I was able to live in Virginia without it in such a rural area? You know, but I just let him talk about himself. And it was the best hour and a half spent, you know. The guy was just great, so we, you know, exchanged cards, and I'm going to follow up with him. But he was just like, man, I wish I had that kind of life that I could just live where I wanted to. Had that renewal income.
Him.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's so true. You just start talking about people, and they eventually are going to, oh, yeah, you're here. Okay, what do? You know. So.
I have friends in Virginia that we've known for over a year, and she came in the other day. She goes, I finally found out what you do, you know. I mean, we've been really good friends. We've been to their house. They've been to our house. Our kids run around together. And I don't know what the rumor is. Maybe that people think we're drug dealers. I don't know.
Well, I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, okay, you just got, when someone asks you what you do, you say, I sell prepaid legal memberships. I train and recruit people to sell prepaid legal memberships. And because she asked, now, what is it? And she knew it was something with lawyers, you know. And I told her that. She goes, oh, she goes, now, a membership is, and I said, it's like health insurance, but for legal and attorney fees. She goes, really? Huh. And so now Jeff's in her presentation, and hopefully they'll buy a membership from us. But it was kind of interesting. I'm like, just simple, self-regulated legal memberships, train and recruit people to sell things.
I told Cindy, okay. That's brilliant. Why anybody ever told me that before? So.
Just simple. Don't
you have people
it.
Say, what do you do? They go, I'm a legal services broker.
What
is that? You know? Say, I sell prepaid legal memberships.
Let's get to
and
the
I train other, I recruit other people and teach them how to do what I do, you know? So. All right, next question. Sun's going down.
Well, I got a question. I was over here at Trucker. I saw someone who's already asked, but what did your day look like? Maybe you can tell me something. What your days looked like when you were maybe when you went full time, or when you were running for executive director, or you kind of phone calls were you making? So maybe the full time associates can know what kind of work that you're doing.
Can I say something first? Okay. Jeff was so used to working. Okay, he worked 9 to 6 every day selling shoes. Okay, so quits his job. And in our, we were lived in this little teeny house, and so we had a desk in the bedroom, right, you know. So he would get, and he would get dressed, and he would sit at the desk. And I would come in, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm working. Okay? And then, you know, straight paper, you know, and he makes some phone calls, and I come in, what are you doing? I'm working. You know, and he would just, I'm like, Jeff, you can go outside. It's okay. No, I got to work.
Not till 6 o'clock.
Not till 6 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock would roll around. Okay, hi. You know, and he'd go out. I'm like, Jeff, come on. You can move. And literally, it took him, he even has a hard time now. After 12 years, he still feels guilty when he works in the yard, you know, and in the garden and during the day. And he's like, I can really stop. Yeah, you can stop. You know, you don't have to work 8 hours a day. So it's pretty.
Thing. All right, so here's what we tell people. Part-time is how many hours a week?
10.
You quit your job, and you go full-time, and you will work 15 hours a week. Okay? Here's the truth. Everybody you want to talk to has a job. And so you're off all day long, and what are you doing? You're waiting for the night to come so you can call the people when they get off from work. So if you want to keep busy, go do group marketing, I guess go to some chamber events, you know, have lunch with somebody. That was pretty much my schedule was I would get up in the morning, I would organize my, you know, respond to my emails, figure out kind of what I was going to do, go through my contact list, figure out who I needed to call. But that would only take like an hour or two. And then I might go to lunch, and I have lunch with some prospect or with a team member, or go to a recruiting event in the marketplace. And then I'd come back home, and I'd, you know, have the afternoon to do whatever. Then I would go out maybe that evening and do a recruiting event or a training event or whatever. But you don't work very much in prepaid legal. There's just not enough to keep a person busy 40 hours a week. So I always tell people, stay part-time. And we have guys on our team in Texas that are making $100,000 a year that are not full-time. And there's a guy down there who works for UPS. And he's about 10 years away from retirement, and the UPS has got a great retirement program. He makes $100,000 a year as a ring earner, but he doesn't quit his job because he doesn't have to. He's plenty of time to do what you need to do. So I don't encourage people to quit their job. I mean, some people want to quit it. I wanted to quit mine, but I would never pressure anybody to quit their job. I would say this is a part-time opportunity, and if it requires people quitting their job to be successful, then we're lying to people. Because we tell people you can do it and become successful in 10 hours a week. And I've seen people do it. And I really think it's better that way. You know, Jim Rohn has a training about the magic of the part-time opportunity. You know, if you are able to buy a car based on your part-time business, that's a great story. People are like, how did you get that new car? Because you make the same amount I do, you know. And you can say, well, I've got this part-time thing. Well, tell me about that, right? Well, that's a good story. But you quit your job and you go to work for prepaid legal and you make a car payment full-time with prepaid, that's not a good story. People don't want to hear that story, right? Especially when you lose your car, lose your house, lose your wife, lose your dog. It's not like a bad country song, right? Country song.
You know, right after we signed up for prepaid legal, Jeff left that company that he was with for 10 years. Saks Fifth Avenue recruited him, but he had to work in Dallas. And it was we literally just had that 10 hours. That was pushing it 10 hours a week. But that was such a huge blessing because he had to drive and do that drive time. And he listened to tapes on the way there. He never went to lunch by himself. He was able to go. He worked in the Galleria Mall. He was able to go. And he would, if he didn't have somebody lined up, he'd be standing in line. He'd talk to the person, hey, what are you doing? Where are you from? Oh, you want to eat lunch together?
I meant for guys with sandals and socks. Because they were obviously tourists, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, where are you guys from? And they're like, we're from Chicago. Chicago? I'm looking for people in Chicago. I can't believe I ran into somebody from Chicago. They're like, well, what are you looking for? You know, it didn't ever work. I never recruited anybody or sold a membership, but it
kind of... You did. You just did. We got a couple
not off
of people.
A tourist, I
well,
did.
Not tourists, but, you know, coworkers.
I used to practice on people who didn't matter, so when I got somebody who did, I didn't blow it.
Yeah. But...
I used to run ads in the free paper.
Yeah.
And the people were so broke they couldn't afford a paper, right? So I'm not going to sell anything or recruit them, but I got to practice on them. People go, how'd you get so good? It's like, I've made a lot of presentations to people who didn't matter, you know. But somebody that actually could write a check, I didn't lose them because I had practice. I was ready to go.
But that working, I mean, he worked 60 hours a week at Saks until he quit when we went to convention. But that was hard after he quit because he was in that routine and he was always out and he could talk to people. And so I think that was the biggest challenge going full time was
you
lose your market. And he had to make an extra special effort to get himself out of the house. That was hard.
I joined networking events, you know, like chamber events and
just to talk
business
to people,
exchange luncheons and just to get out of the house. And I ended up recruiting that team she talked about that's really deep and then breaks forks way down with these executives. That came out of a business luncheon, like a chamber type luncheon where you trade leads. I was in it for a year before I ever sold a membership or recruited anybody. And what happens, the economy went south, and all these guys that were doing high-tech jobs were like, seriously, you making money at that prepaid, that paralegal stuff, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. And I ended up recruiting some of them, and then they got some of the other people, and I ended up building this big team. But you got to get out of the house. And that's the challenge, I think, when people quit their job. And they'll call me up and they'll say, I want to shadow you. I'm like, well, bring your pajamas and come over, right? Because there ain't nothing to do all day unless you go make work for yourself. You've got to get yourself out there and make things happen. Because we call this a home-based business, and that's because that's where your files are based, but not your butt. If your butt is based at home, you're not going to make any money. You've got to get out of your house because I bet everybody in your house is already a member, right? I bet they have access to the membership. So,
do you find that organizational skills are very important when you're setting up to try and recruit?
Let's ask if it's organizational skills
are important when you set up. Not
if
to
you
check.
Marry if you marry into organizational skills, it's okay.
That was my job. Still is.
That's why it's nice to have a workout partner or a spouse that can be your business partner. Because generally where one's weak, the other one's strong. And I'll tell you what's important. Organizational is good, but Dave Hall can tell you this. When you watch at convention and all the people that are up on stage talking, they all are ADD. They're all just spaz, every one of them. And I almost think that it's like a character trait in this industry that if you're a little bit disorganized and just kind of a put your head down and go kind of person, you tend to do pretty well, but you need to have somebody to pick up the pieces. And I know that Wendy is that for Dave. I mean, I guarantee you, she's going on and sweeping up after him every day of his life, and Cindy does that for me. And if you don't have one as a spouse, recruit one, you know, or get somebody in your life to pick up your socks.
Dave, do you want us to end? Are we getting cold?
Yeah.
So the sun is down, and
unlike next week, it's cold here at night.
First of all, let's give them a round of applause for being here. And then if we could get some assistance helping tear this stuff down, if you have dishes up here and you don't want to drive them home with stuff sloshing around in the back of your car, you're more than welcome to come in the kitchen, wash them out, clean them out, or something like that. We need a few people to help tear down the tables and get the grills, put them back in trucks and some